Welcome to CWA Radio Network, brought to you 7 days a week by Christian Women Affiliate. You're listening to My Journey of Faith, hosted by Cynthia McCutcheon, wife, mother, Bible teacher, and speaker, encouraging others to share their God stories to inspire others in their walk of faith. For the next 60 minutes, we invite you to join us live via the chat room. Click to talk to the host or call in 347-850-8893. After the show, we invite you to join us at Christian Women Affiliate. Here's your host.
Hi. Has your journey of faith taken you through some dark times, some times when you didn't know what was going on? I'm Cynthia McCutcheon, host of My Journey of Faith Radio, and I'm here with Kristen Price. She blogs at Luminate, formerly The Uncontainable Truth, where she offers light for your path. As a wife to her high school sweetheart and a mother to premature twin girls, she learned that God is the ultimate party planner, and sometimes the unexpected is the greatest gift of all. You can see her, talk with her on Facebook or Etsy or Pinterest, Instagram or Twitter at Chris Ten Price. She is the children's ministry coordinator at her church, lover of exclamation points, and gets way too excited over food and fabric. Please welcome Kristen. Hey, Kristen, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Cynthia?
Just fine.
Thank you for letting me be on your show.
Oh, this is such a wonderful blessing. You talked about God being the ultimate party planner. Sometimes the unexpected gift is the greatest of all.
Mm-hmm.
How is that in your story? How did your story begin?
Well, it's interesting because my story has a lot to do with birthdays. And when I turned 25 a few years back, I remember just praying on that birthday that I wanted to be used by God. And I had two desires of my heart that I really was praying to God about. And the first desire was to be able to write for His kingdom. I felt that calling for a few months, and I just felt like it was time to pursue that, and I needed His direction on that. And then the second desire was my husband and I had been married for a few years, and we were ready to start a family. And so we were just praying that the Lord would bless us with children. And so my story really began on my 25th birthday when I prayed just to be used by Him. And in the months that followed, it was really interesting to see how God had already been planning out, my life and our lives together as a husband and a wife, because we decided to pursue the writing more seriously. I had been working for a nonprofit agency, but we decided for me to pull away from that job and to start a new career path to write more and to share God's word. And then, you know, that was such a scary thing to do at 25 because, you know, you're fresh, you know, just a few years out of college, and it was my first real job. And so I was a little nervous about, you know, stopping working and doing something on my own. But we trusted God, and we went home every Thanksgiving to our hometown where both of our parents live, and we shared with them what our plans were. And, you know, we weren't asking for their permission per se, but it was just that, you know, we would like their blessing and encouragement. And this, you know, it was a rather bold decision for us to make for our family and our lifestyle. And they were both very positive towards that. And it was neat just to have that blessing to move forward and that affirmation from our parents. And then when we got back to our house that night, it was over Thanksgiving, and we discovered that I was pregnant. And so it was just such a neat way for God to say, see, trust me, you know, trust my plans for you. I'm going to take care of you. Yeah. And so we found out we were pregnant every Thanksgiving, and then had to wait, you know, several weeks to go to the doctor. And when we went to the doctor for the first time, it was around January. And we went and, you know, everything checked out fine. And then we went in the ultrasound room, and she started, you know, rubbing a little wand over my belly. And all of a sudden she said, do you see what I see? And I was like looking at it, and I just couldn't believe what was on the screen. And it wasn't one baby, but it was two. And so my husband and I literally, we just like, were like, what? Are you serious for having twins? I mean, it was just a unreal, a very unexpected gift, you know, and that's kind of where the unexpected part comes in the bio because, you know, twins don't really run in our family. We weren't on any fertility drugs to have twins. So it was truly so unexpected. But it was neat to see because when I was a little girl, I had always said I wanted twins. And so it was just something that I always thought would be, oh, that would be fun, but never really thought it could be a reality. And so just seeing those two little, you know, babies on that monitor was just like, ah, oh, God, you hear my desires and you love me. Like, his love for me was just overflowing, you know, on that day. And it was just even more confirming for me that I was trusting him and going in his direction and his will for my life and not my own. And so I stopped working and we began planning for their arrival. They were expected to come late July. And so we were just, you know, checking along, having the baby showers, decorating the nursery, picking out, you know, all things pink and girly, because we found out we were having twin girls. And then around 27 weeks of my pregnancy, I was in my second, you know, trimester, and something wasn't right. And I'd been to the doctor, and all along, everything was checking out fine. But I started experiencing some sharp pains in my stomach that just didn't seem quite right. And so we went in early one morning on a Friday morning, and after a few examinations, they determined that I was fully dilated, and I had to be rushed into an emergency C-section. And so that obviously was very unexpected, and I was scared. This was my first time having children, so already I was nervous about, you know, hearing twins and the delivery and all of that kind of stuff. And so for it to be such a shock that we couldn't stop it and, you know, we had to deliver, I really was just so frightened and scared for my children. And, I, you know, just being the mother, I had this, you know, sense of I wasn't doing my job because they had to come early and I couldn't keep them in any longer. And so just the shame came across me, too, that was, you know, not something I had experienced up to that point, because I'm a good girl. I hate to do things wrong, you know, and so I felt like I had maybe messed up somehow, you know. And so it was just all these feelings were just going, you know, rushing around me, swirling around me. And we delivered the girl through a C-section, and I couldn't look, you know, honestly, Cynthia. I was just scared to death, and I just looked up at the ceiling. And I just prayed Proverbs 3:5-6. I trust in the Lord with all my heart, lean not on my own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And I just prayed that over and over and over again. And my husband, he looked into my eyes because he was watching everything, and he would tell me, okay, our first little girl, she was born. And then he would tell me that the second one was born, too. But he had to tell me because they couldn't scream because they were so premature. Their lungs weren't developed. And so I didn't even know when they entered into this world because I was, you know, not looking and I couldn't hear them. And so it was just a really emotional experience to deliver them. And they were both born going 2 pounds each. So combined, they were less than a bag of sugar.
You know? Wow.
Yeah. And so immediately they were rushed into the neonatal intensive care unit. And so that's when we began our NICU journey once they were born at 27 weeks.
Wow. So how long were they in NICU?
They were in the NICU for 3 months, and it totaled out to be around 83 days.
And so, wow.
Yeah. So it was a long stretch. You know, typically preemies, they can be in the NICU for as little as a few days to maybe a week or two. Or they can be in there long term, like ours just were. It just depends on how early they were born and if there was any complications with their birth. And so with ours, with them being born at 27 weeks, that's usually 30 weeks is when it gets a little bit safer and more things are developed, like the lungs and the, you know, everything else. And so we really had to play catch up, and they needed to just sit in those incubators for it to be like they could still grow as if they were in my womb. So,
right. So did you, how did you get to hold them? Did you get to interact with them? What was the process for you?
Well, what, you know, when you woke up, or when I woke up, you know, from the procedure, the neonatal doctor was sitting by my bed, and he said, you know, they are alive, but they're in critical condition. And he said, you know, there's hope, but we're in the touch-and-go phase right now. So imagine, you know, having your first children when a week before your doctor's appointment, everything was great. And then you have them, you know, early, and then you're told, okay, they could not live. Like, what? Mm-hmm. You know, and it was just such a shock, but couldn't really process it all at first, you know, just because everything was moving along so fast and it was out of my control. And, you know, I think as moms, we think so much we are in control and we can, you know, make things right for our children. I think that's part of our nurturing behavior. And so for me to be like, okay, there's nothing I can do for them right now. They are in the hands of these doctors and these nurses and these this technology that's keeping them alive. And so the first few weeks, no, we cannot hold them. The only thing we could do was occasionally touch their arms through the incubator. And one time I got to change their diaper. That was like a huge deal because they were on very critical condition where they experienced a staph infection. And so like, they couldn't be touched because of that. And then just the way that they were developing and their all the wires and tubes and everything, they couldn't have we had to wash and scrub our hands really good every time we saw them and have to wear gloves and things like that. And so they just couldn't, they'd be in a very sterile environment those first few weeks. And so, that was really tough on me too, because you know, as a mom, you always kind of have that image of, you know, holding your newborn right after, you know, they're born and you're all, you know, sweaty and gross, but you're beautiful at the same time. And then, you know, I didn't get to experience that. And so I think, you know, in those first few weeks, I just felt a lot of loss, and I really grieved the remainder of my pregnancy because I felt like I had missed out on, you know, the final part of it. Does that make any sense?
Yes, makes total sense.
Yeah, and so that was really just a lot to process in those first few weeks. But then, you know, as time went on, and it's funny that we're having this talk now, Memorial Day weekend, because it was about a month after they were born. The girls were born on April 30th, and a month after they were born, the nurses called us and they said, hey, you know, when are y'all coming in? Make sure you bring your camera today. And I just thought maybe it was something cute. So they surprised us, and we were able to hold our girls. So after 1 month, we were finally able to hold them. And I was on cloud nine. I mean, it was the most specialist moment because it's like we've been waiting so long to get to hold them in our arms. And it's just too, like, I knew even when we couldn't hold them in our arms, God was holding them, you know, and I really had to just trust that he was taking care of my girls when I couldn't. But then when we finally could, it was just like, this is what it's supposed to be like, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So. How neat. I looked on your blog, and you put our NICU experience showed me the power of the Holy Spirit and how to let go of Satan's strongholds in order to hold on to the truth spoken by Christ.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of the strongholds besides just the fear or the feeling of being an inadequate mom? What were some of the things that you battled?
Yeah. Well, those were two of the primary strongholds. I remember one time we were driving down the road going to the hospital. And for me, one thing that Satan did was he tried to manipulate my thoughts and my what I was using to give me strength. He would manipulate it. And he's very conniving, you know, and I really learned just how sly he was, you know, during that time. Because when we were driving down the road, our house was about 10, 15 minutes from the hospital. And my husband, Raleigh, he had, it was the New Hill Song CD. And we were just listening to the CD and, you know, the words were so confirming and they were so powerful and we were just worshiping on our way to see the girls and, you know, it was such a pleasant, you know, it filled me up. And then, you know, we had our time with the girls and then on the way home, Satan just like, I was just meditating over the words from the Hillsong song and he was just like, you know, Kristen, these words would be great to play at your daughter's funeral.
Oh, dear.
And I was like, what in the world? Where is this coming from? You know, like, how could I think such twisted, you know, stuff? And because that's not like me, you know? And it took me a while, and I told my husband, I was like, Raleigh, it's Marilee. That was the one that Satan was talking to me about. I was like, well, he's merely going to die, you know, and I mean, do we need to be planning a funeral right now, you know, because he had put that into my head, and we just had to pull over on the side of the road, and we just cried. I mean, we just cried out, and we didn't understand why this was happening, why our children were suffering, why we were suffering, why we were experiencing these kind of thoughts and emotions, and the Lord really, it was just such a dark moment that we had ever experienced. And the Lord, he had to just bring us out of that. And he did it through his truth and his light. And he literally was a light to us. And we had to keep looking for that light because if we didn't, Satan was going to manipulate our thoughts and just make something that we were using for good. He was twisting it for bad. And I think he does that so often. Like, you know, if we hear something in the Bible or if we hear a preacher say something, you know, we think, oh, yeah, I'm going to meditate on that. And then you get home and it's like everything is not, you know, as you wanted it to be. I think often as a mom, you think, oh, I'm going to have a good day today. And then that's usually like your worst day ever.
Exactly.
And so, you know, and so I feel like Satan, he's like, oh, well, she just thinks she's going to have a good day. And then he tries to use, you know, use those good thoughts and turn them into bad because he hates it
exactly.
When he sees people, you know, turning towards God instead of our own flesh and his manipulations. So that was kind of one of the biggest things during the NICU experience and just, you know, the shame, like I mentioned before. And, you know, as we continued on, it was comparisons too. It was hard not to be jealous of all the other families that got to what it's called rooming the inn. That's your last night that you stay in the NICU. And you room in, and then you get to take your baby home. And so it's like a big deal to get to room in. And since we were there for 3 months, we saw so many babies come and go. And, you know, towards the end, I just was anxious, and I was ready to I'm sorry if you can hear them crying in the background. That's part of being a mom.
I can't get them at all.
But we were so ready for it to be over and for us to get to go home, you know, and so it's hard not to be jealous.
Well, in your when you put on your bio, you said you learned that God is the ultimate party planner. How would you say that to someone that may be going through this very similar situation? How could you encourage them saying that he's the ultimate party planner?
I think, you know, with God, he's got this beautiful gift wrapped up for us of faith and trust and hope. And it's like sometimes his plans for us are such a surprise and unexpected, as I said before. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, whenever life throws circumstances at us, we just feel like the party's over, you know, and like life is just bad. And it's just like, this is no fun. And we ask questions about why we have to go through this and why, you know, why is God doing this? But really, it's not, you know, it's life circumstances. It's not God trying to be mean to us or to ruin the party. He's actually the ultimate party planner, and he's the one who is going to use these really bad circumstances. And if we trust in him, he's going to use them for good. So then it's like, you know, I read recently how, you know, the verse about, you know, perseverance and how life is a race and everything. And it says, you know, first comes suffering, then comes perseverance and character building, and finally comes hope. And, you know, to me, God being the ultimate party planner is like the hope that comes at the end, because it's like he uses all of these things, but then finally when hope comes, it's like a big surprise party. And you look at all these circumstances that happened in your life and you think, okay, God was using these for his glory and for, you know, to bless me and to grow me and to build my character so I can be more like him. So that's, to me, how he's the ultimate party planner, because he's really working everything towards the good of us, and he wants our life to be a gift and to be filled with joy and peace and happiness and love. He wants us to experience his love, and I mean, what better gift to love? I know with me being a mom, I love throwing my girls' birthday party because it's like I want to celebrate them, and so
exactly.
I feel like that's what God does with us, you know?
Exactly. Now, he also planned an ultimate party for you, I believe, the day that you brought them home. Is that correct?
He did. It's really neat how it worked out. Like I said, the girls were in the hospital for 83 days. And, you know, towards the end, we were just kind of like, come on, because we have to do all these like when preemies are born, they don't know how to take a bottle or how to nurse, or at least our girls with their the gestation that they were. And so we had to teach them all of these things. And so towards the end, it wasn't so much that we were worried about disease and, you know, like it was in the beginning. But towards the end, it was just letting them put on enough weight so they could come home. And so every day I was in there, and you know, when you have a newborn, your feeds are like every 3 hours. And so I literally camped out in the hospital for all of the feeds, and we were breastfeeding and bottle feeding, just trying to get them to gain weight and to learn how to suck, swallow, and breathe. That's kind of the term that's used. And so we were working on that, and then finally the nurses were like, you know, I think we're ready. And so the doctors came in, and they did the final thing. And they determined that the girls would be able to room in. And it just so happened that we roomed in on the night before my 26th birthday.
Oh, wow.
And so the nurses were all so sweet. They brought us donuts, and they were just loving on us because, I mean, they were our family, you know, by that point, because we had been in there for so long. So it was, to me, that's where the party comes in, too, because it's like one big, like, bittersweet party, because at one point we were so elated to be going home, but on the other side, it was like, we're going to miss y'all, because we had been with y'all, you know, you'd been through our darkest moments, these nurses and doctors and people in the hospital, and so it was neat to see that that journey was finally coming to an end, and we were going to begin the new journey of having preemies at home, and so we roomed in the night before, and then on the day of my birthday, we brought them home, and, you know, Cynthia, to be able to sit in my house on my birthday and blow out my birthday cake and blow out those candles with those girls in my arms, to me, that's the sweetest gift I've ever been given. And so it was just like God's timing again. You know, I mean, a year before I had prayed, Lord, use me. And then to see how much he had done in just 1 year's time.
Wow. That is amazing.
It was just, it's him. It's all him. It's his perfect timing, you know? And so
exactly.
It really was hard going through those circumstances, But he blessed us tremendously through it, you know.
So. That is amazing. That is amazing. Well, I know on your blog that you, or your website, that you share a lot of your testimony, and you have a video there. Will you tell the listeners how they can find that?
Of course. If they just want to go to our website, it's theuncontainabletruth.com. And on our homepage, there's different tabs, and in the center it says Our NICU Testimony. And so you just click on that, and on that page I have a whole list. I've got our video testimony, because to me, sometimes when you just put words and music and pictures together, it tells a story that's just captivating. And so we have our NICU video testimony on that page. And then I also have all of the posts from my pregnancy, our NICU experience, and also the 2 years afterwards, because with a preemie, they often say that the first 2 years you have to catch up in development. So, you know, to me, it was always nice to see how other people were doing, you know, at what stage their children were doing what, you know, because you can't compare it to your other friends with babies that age. So it has all of that. And it also has lists of books that helped me out, and organizations that you can be a part of to help with the fight against prematurity. And so it's just got all those NICU resources in one place on the blog. And it's just Our NICU Testimony on theuncontainabletruth.com.
That's wonderful. Well, Kristen, I am so thankful that you came on and shared with us today.
Thank you for having me.
I know this is going to inspire someone out there. It's inspired me, and I don't even have preemies. like I told you before, I'm out of that stage, but it has inspired me. I loved how you called on God. You quoted scripture to him during the trying times, and I just think that that's wonderful. On your blog, you had a verse, and it just kept bumping out to me, and I just want to share it as we close. It's Psalms 18:22, and you said it beautifully says, "But the Lord watches over those who fear him, those who rely on his unfailing love. He rescues them from death and keeps them alive in times of famine. We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone." I want to thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you.
It was a blessing. For those of you, I hope that you go and you visit Kristen on her blog, on her website, find her on Facebook or Twitter, and then just remember, in the dark times, God is always there, and he is always planning a party for you, even if you don't know it. Until next time, just remember to tell your story. It will make a difference. Let God be the glory. Goodbye.